choking you down on your knees. I know what that.
Good afternoon, and thank each of you for coming. We're going to call to order the notice meeting between Council President Terrence Freeman and council members regarding the Office of General Counsel and City Council members regarding legislative issues. The first thing I'd like to do is, one, thank each of you for coming out today, and to start off with introductions of our council members present.
Good afternoon, Kevin Carrico, District 4.
Good afternoon, Sam Newby, Group 5 at large.
Aaron Bowman, District 3.
Randy White, District 12.
Ron Salem, Group 2 at large.
Terrence Freeman at large, Group 1.
Good afternoon, Brenda Priestley Jackson, District 10.
Good afternoon, Randy DeFore, District 14.
And thank you each to my colleagues for short notice. Taking the time out of your schedule. And this meeting was scheduled prior to our council meeting, but I was so excited to hear that several of my colleagues had interest in this as well. And so just briefly wanted to just describe a little bit of the conversation that we had, which was regarding Section 7.01, Office Established and the General Responsibilities, and with the charter, and wanted to preface it as saying this. This conversation started because this is another tool that we as a council can add to our toolbox to better help us serve the constituents of Jacksonville. And that was how I landed here. You know, there have been other things, other tools that have been added over the last 2 years. I want to thank Council Past President Newby. When we're looking at the things that have come in and the changes that he brought in, we look most recently with our office, our public information officer, and how much she has assisted as well in getting the message out. So that was the purpose of bringing this forward, as well as I'm not the only holder of ideas. This is one tool that I came across, but also wanted to be hear more of from my colleagues as well. Because they seemed to be like there were some questions about how or why we got here. And so I thought it'd be best for me just to kind of just share that on the kind of on a higher level. But and I'll kind of take a pulse here around the table. Who all is familiar with this tool that I was saying is a tool in our toolbox about a legislative general counsel? And if no one was, I was going to call up someone that could can better clear it up. We have Peggy here as well. Huh?
You asked. I was familiar with that.
Oh, yes, sir. Thank you. So Councilmember Carlucci has stated that he was familiar with the position. And I wasn't until I became familiar with it and reading about it. But Peggy, if you don't mind, I'd love if you can come up and talk about the mechanics of it. Per se, the charge of it, when it or the expense to the office, you know, there's been conversations of the year it was created and then absolved and then brought back and things of that nature.
Sure. So initially, and I wasn't here, and this may be what Councilmember Carlucci is familiar with, there was a legislative council. It was by the gentleman by the name of Phil Cope, and he served as legislative council for many years. I don't have the number of years. That was dissolved some time ago. Again, I don't have the exact date of that, but it is something that is available to you. In about 2014, there was a new legislation that was put in for legislative council, and it's found in Chapter 14 of the ordinance code. And within that, there's also in the charter a provision for legislative council. And you all are very familiar of having used it most recently with the JEA. There was a desire by the council, as it says from time to time, there may be a desire by the council to instigate legislative council. And it talks in the provisions about it can be a firm, it can be, you know, a full-time employee, employees. And so that's available to you. Like I said, it was put in 2014. I want to say it was 2014, yeah, as available, and then it was deployed under the JEA Special Counsel.
Thank you. Thank you for that description. And so that's basically what I have here before us, and this was definitely something that I was getting smarter on. I do want my colleagues to know that I did hear you Tuesday. It was late and towards the end of that night, and so I felt like this was an appropriate time. But I definitely wanted to open the floor up to, one, not necessarily just to hear about your thoughts on something like this, but if there are other thoughts or things that maybe I've missed or I haven't had the fortune of being enlightened on, getting a little smarter on that. And so at this time, I wanted to go to council members' thoughts and concerns, and I'll kind of go by, like, show of hands if someone is ready or has any comments or thoughts that they'd like to share. So I'll go. I know you write your writing. Would you like to share now, or would you follow? Would care to follow, council?
An honor. Thank you, Mr. Council President, and thank you so much for having this meeting. And so I'm interested to hear what our colleagues share, but I think that we as a council have to wrestle with the current configuration of the Office of General Counsel and see if it serves the needs of the consolidated government now 50 years after, with almost a million neighbors in Jacksonville and the constitutional officers and independent authorities. And I am one who wants to explore the idea of, I believe it's integral to the notions of consolidation to have an Office of General Counsel, but I believe we've outgrown the model of one general counsel. And so my ideas, and it's something I've been actually looking at for probably a couple of years, I believe we need a true tribunal, not a tribunal of one. And what I mean by a tribunal of one, you generally have a general counsel, all of the executive branch, the mayor's office, the city council, as well as the constitutional offices and independent authorities are filtered through that. What about exploring a concept where you had a true tribunal where the mayor and the independent authorities had a general counsel? One where the constitutional officers had a general counsel, so that would be everybody from supervisor of elections to the sheriff, to property appraisers, school board, and one where the city council had their own general counsel. And when there were intergovernmental conflicts, which I think we've seen quite a bit of, this tribunal, these three, would come together and, you know, arbitrate that issue. And if they weren't able to reach a resolution, then we could decide whether it went to circuit court locally. But I think that, you know, any of the attorneys that are sitting up here on the dais and so on the council will tell you we would probably be have real trouble with the Florida bar if we operate in such a fashion with the inherent conflicts that are apparent in what our general counsel's office faces right now. And again, I think we've just outgrown the model. I think that it was great at the time, but I think that the original intent of the Office of General Counsel was to be a very senior attorney on loan, theoretically, to a mayor during their time that they served. So it was never contemplated that it would be kind of in-house talent, grown. You know, it was supposed to be a senior partner. You'd serve 2 to 4 years. And I believe the last time that we had one that kind of functioned in that role was Fred Franklin. Rick Mullaney came after that and kind of began the kind of inter-office tenure of general counsels. But I think that we owe it to ourselves. We owe it to our neighbors, and we owe it to the other constitutional officers to have the conversation and to explore the idea.
Thank you for that. Councilmember Carlucci.
Okay, thank you. First of all, I was not familiar with this 2014 legislation, and that legislation I have some concerns with because it allows for an attorney to be hired without a vote of the council. And I don't think this is something that we should do without a vote of the council. And so I think it's bad legislation, and I'm thinking on trying to repeal that. Doesn't keep us from hiring an attorney if we want to, but it would have to be done with an ordinance and have to be passed by the entire city council. The second thing was with regards to Phil Cope. Phil Cope was a very dear friend of mine. He was a member of the OGC. He was not a privately hired city council attorney. So I just thought that would be well to say for those of you who might have remembered Phil Cope. He was pretty legendary back in those days. I am familiar with the concept, though, that when the council had its own attorney back in 1987, when I first was elected, and that concept lasted for about a year and a half before that position was eliminated, and mainly it was because there was conflicts with the Office of General Counsel and with that attorney. And that attorney, any attorney we hire cannot, I don't think, can render binding opinions. Mr. Teal can. I think we're making, I'm not sure what prompted this idea. Are we not getting the service and the help from the OGC that we need to be getting? Because I'm very happy with my relationship with the OGC, with the help I get. I have no problems needing our own attorney. I'm concerned about the language, no matter who the council president is, that this attorney would report to the council president, whether it's Council President Freeman or whether it's Council President Salem or Carrico or whoever. I just think that in and of itself puts really the council president in a bad position. And then you got the cost to hire an attorney when we already have a bevy full of attorneys at the OGC. And I think if we're concerned with the lack of communication somehow with our general counsel, if we're concerned that we're not getting support from the OGC that we need, each of us as an individual council person, I think we take that up with Mr. Teal. And if there's any hiring to do of an attorney, it should go through the Office of General Counsel. I don't often disagree with my dear friend, Council Member Priestley Jackson, but this one, I think what was put together under consolidation was a great model. And it's a little streamlined because one general counsel can render a binding opinion. Sometimes that's needed quickly. Sometimes some may disagree with it, but I believe it's a very good model. So if we are in need of an attorney, that makes me believe that there must be some lack of support that perhaps some council members may feel they're getting from the Office of General Counsel. And I would have to believe that if that is true, that Mr. Teal would quickly remedy that problem for us. So to spend $100,000+ for an outside attorney who, number one, is going to come in, is not real familiar with our consolidated government, is not real familiar with the Office of General Counsel, or even if they were, they can become at odds with the General Counsel, but at the end of the day, the Office of General Counsel is going to prevail. So, and then to Councilman Salem's, he was here a minute ago, point that he made is the last time that I remember this happening back in that day, then everybody else wanted their own general counsel. They wanted to hire their own counsel person, I mean, their own attorney, as in a counsel of with an attorney that they hire themselves outside of the Office of General Counsel. And I believe if we go down that route, we're going to set a precedent for other authorities, school boards, et cetera, to want to do the same. And I think it'll create confusion. I would not have the confidence in an attorney outside of the general counsel office, because I know whatever that attorney's putting together, it's going to have to pass muster with the OGC. And if it doesn't, and that's what the problem was back, you know, when I was first on the council, and it just did not work. Sounds like a good idea, and I'm not being critical of you, Council President. I'm here to give my thoughts. I was not familiar with this legislation, and I knew nothing about this until I happened to find out about it somehow. And when I did, I thought, well, this is history repeating itself. And so it may be a great idea, but I would have to, there'd have to be a real good reason to convince me to change my view on this. And I go back to what started this. Was it a lack of support? Was it a lack of something from the Office of General Counsel? If so, then the person to talk to about that is Mr. Jason Teal, our general counsel. And I've known Jason for over 20 years. And I've worked with him when he first started out. And we had a lot of fun together back in those days. I have confidence in him.
Okay.
And I want to remain that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilmember DeFore.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to ask questions, and this is totally not personal to Mr. Teal or anybody else, but I do think, given the history that we've personally experienced as a council, I agree with Ms. Councilwoman Priestley Jackson that we need to look at this. Look, what are other consolidated cities doing? How is their general counsel's office structured? So if I could ask, Peggy, if you're the right person, the general counsel today, who does that person report? Who does Jason Teal report to? Or Jason Teal, who do you report to? Who's your boss, ultimately?
Ultimately, my boss is the consolidated government.
Don't report to the mayor?
I do not report to the mayor. And in fact, one of the hard questions that this council put to me during my confirmation is, would I have a problem telling somebody no?
Mm-hmm.
And I was very firm in that my answer is no. I don't have a problem telling someone no. I think that would be a last resort because I want to understand where they're trying to get to and if there's an alternate solution that we can get there. But even if I do have to say no, then I'm going to explain to you why.
Okay.
So ultimately, you know, the charter establishes, you know, the independence of the general counsel. It establishes, you know, the process for removal of a general counsel, for example. It establishes a process for appointment of a general counsel. But the charter is very firm that it's the idea of consolidation is to have a general counsel that can, you know, facilitate all of the potentially varying opinions and decisions and issues that the consolidated government would face. And ultimately, if you want a specific answer, who can overrule me is a court, because that's what the charter says, is if I do a binding legal opinion, it's the law of the land unless overruled by a court.
Okay.
So
if I could just ask you a couple more questions. The school board has a council. Who does that person, who is that under the general counsel's office?
It is.
Okay. So that person sitting in the school board
is an attorney for with my office.
Okay. Is there any other independent entity that has their own council that is not one of your staff?
There is not. There's a hybrid. The Jacksonville Transportation Authority is a quasi-city-state agency. They're specifically allowed by statute to have other counsel. But as far as the consolidated government, then there is no other legal authority other than an employee of my office.
Okay. I thank you for all of that. It is not personal. I after going through the JEA debacle, it really, I started researching how other general counsel's offices are structured, because I did not believe at that time, not today, but at that time, we were getting the right representation. And it took us getting a special counsel, actually, I think, to finally do that. So to me, this may not be a bad opportunity to just see how it works. And, provide you with the additional And it's not the way I read this, by the way, it represents the entire council. I don't read it representing just the president. But in any event, I'm with Councilman Priestley Jackson. I'd like to do a workshop of some to see about the structure of the General Council's office.
Thank you. And just wanted to add some points as each council member makes some comments. One topic that was brought up was experience. And I would ask Councilmember Carlucci now, when you look at the makeup of our General Council, how many years of experience are we currently having that are on the council side working with us? I believe we have Ms. Staphopoulos. We have two new ones, and I believe one just recently left. So I hear that word experience, I do agree with you, but then I'm looking for consistency in what we currently are having or what future councils will have as we move on. And that's not something you gain overnight, but that was just one thought that I wanted to put out there.
My apologies. I didn't
yes, sir. When we were talking about the challenges and some of the concerns, one of your concerns was experience and institutional knowledge of government, consolidated right. government. And I know from personal experience now, I've had to ask, like, what's your name and what's your capacity? And so I'm not saying that we currently have that now in this current structure that we have, which leads me somewhat to kind of align with Councilmember DeFore and Councilmember Brenda Priestley Jackson and maybe researching and going a little further. Also, in this section 14, what is it, chapter 14, when you talked about the cost, I believe it's my understanding that the costs are already built into the budget. So this would not be a situation where if a council were to go this direction, where you were going back and asking, and correct me, Peggy, if I'm mistaken, if council president in the future come and they want to do something like this, where they would come back to the council and ask for the money. And so I do have one other question, but I want to make sure I give everyone else a chance. We'll go over here. I'll let you go last. Councilmember Bowman.
Thank you, Mr. President, and appreciate you bringing us all together. I can sympathize with you because I've been in your seat recently, one of the few at this table that has been there recently and understands the daily stuff that's going on behind the scenes that you're involved with, legal issues. And I don't think people appreciate that. But I will say that I'm a much simpler look at this. I think certainly something that we could improve is I felt, and I would imagine Mr. Newby to my left felt, and I imagine you felt, that I had little input, the council had little input on who was being assigned as our legislative expertise. And that was very frustrating because not once did I ever get asked or proposed, it was somebody showed up. And I think that's broken because we are the legislative branch and we have to have confidence and we have to have the ability to have a seat at that table. So I would say that's something certainly we should improve on. I will say there's a model going on right now that I'm sure Vice President Salem knows about that maybe others don't, is that there is kind of a hybrid at the Jacksport. Jacksport found themselves wanting their own general counsel, but knew that wasn't get approved. So they did get someone who's got legal experience, a lawyer, and that person can't sign legal documents, but it is a source for them to get a very expertise advice independently from the Office of General Counsel. Seems to be working very well for them. And I will tell you, when I first saw that going on, I wasn't real thrilled about it, but I think it's proven to be a good model. I will say from my perspective that as a consolidated government, I think the most important thing we can always do is speak with one voice. That's where I get really concerned, is having independent groups have their own counsel and then trying to figure out people from that have legal action against us or anyone trying to figure out, okay, who's really speaking from a legal perspective from the city of Jacksonville. It's very easy right now. We have that. and I don't want to get away from that. So I guess in closing, I too was taken a little bit by surprise. I think there's room for improvement, but I don't think right now I'm ready to say that we take the drastic movement of trying to be our own entity on ourselves. I think the ability to have access to, and you know as well as I do, that a lot of the issues that come across your table every day have nothing to do with what's happening on City Council. It's lawsuits, it's contractual, it's actions done by others, and that person never has that experience. We have to dig back into the Office of General Counsel with their expertise, and sometimes they have to go outside to the open market and find people that have expertise outside of that. So I don't want to lose that, and I think it's effective. But I would say that you're onto something, and I'm going to say it as a Jaxport model, is that there is much value of having someone we can go to that represents us, but I don't want that person to speak for us.
Got it. And I believe they title him as a government affairs, some label that. I do have a question for Mr. Till in regards to this Section 14. With this position, this person would work with what's your understanding of the responsibilities of this person, and who would this person, I mean, obviously they were, from our understanding, they report to the president, but are they isolated from working with your office and members within OGC, to Councilor Bowman's point about, you know, the historical data that is stored in archives?
So the way that I read Chapter 14 and what was done in Chapter 14 is it seems like the intent there was, in essence, if you think back about how the council hired Smith Hulsey to participate in the SIC committee with JEA, in that there's a specific issue that the council wants legislative counsel for. And the reason I come to that conclusion is because Section 14.103 is the purpose and the scope of the service of the representative. And what it says is the City Council hereby recognizes that on occasion, conflicting issues may arise between the legislative branch, the executive branch, and the independent agencies, such that independent legal advocacy and counsel separate from the Office of General Counsel may be necessary. So the purpose of the legislation in Chapter 14 is to allow the City Council to have its own lawyer to deal with a specific question or a specific issue. I don't read this as authorizing a blanket lawyer to function and serve in the role that was advertised as part of the position. So, you know, so the rest of the ordinance, as far as the coordination with the Office of General Counsel, really only makes sense if you view this is an issue specific hiring outside counsel, because, you know, traditional legal services and staffing offered to the City Council by the Office of General Counsel shall continue. Okay, so we are still responsible for performing all of the duties and responsibilities that we already have, separate from whatever specific issue the council has hired outside counsel for. So, you know, if we go back to the what seems to be the model of we want to have our own lawyer to do all of the City Council business, then I don't know what that means. Because I don't know what traditional legal services in that context mean. So I don't know if that means that the Office of General Counsel, for example, is going to have to defend in court anybody that challenges one of the ordinances that you pass. I don't want to put my lawyers in the position of having to defend on the back end what they don't have input on in the front end. So that can be guidance for public records. That can be sunshine law questions. That can be elections questions that may come up. I don't know that, I don't think that what is properly before the council is, first of all, I don't think that it's authorized by Chapter 14, because I don't think it goes far enough. Does a charter authorize you to do what you want to do? Sure. But I don't think that there's an ordinance right now that specifies that you can do that. Because that ordinance would have to lay out, well, what does that mean? So the way I interpret this is that if you wanted to have your own legislative council to handle everything that you wanted to do, we would in essence flip the role, which is you would then have to pass an ordinance telling OGC what issues you wanted us specifically to be involved in. And whether that's on a case-by-case, individualized basis, or whether there's some sort of broader legislation that you could do that, I don't know. Because I don't think what is being proposed is currently authorized by what this ordinance says. And I don't think that it's fleshed out enough to be able to say, OGC, here's your role in light of what we want to bring in. So that's the...
And I love that question. So help me understand this. In the current format that we have, if one of my colleagues or myself, if we're working on a piece of legislation and we're working through that process, it then comes to you for the final approval?
No. What the ordinance code requires is that the general counsel's role in that is to form approve the legislation.
Right. So I guess where I was going when you said defending bills that you didn't write, you're just saying that an attorney that you hired didn't write. Because you wouldn't know of, if I'm understanding your response, you wouldn't necessarily know every bill that every attorney's writing, but yet you would still have to defend it because it was written.
We may not know about it, or we may not have a seat at the table to talk about, here's what our concerns are for why your donation bin legislation violates the First Amendment.
Okay. So I got a little confused because it sounds what you're saying is not allowed or not happening is actually what is happening now to a certain extent. So I was just a little confused on that point. And I want to be clear to my colleagues. This is a tool that was just brought to my attention that I love the fact that it's brought a conversation to the table, that there is a need for a deeper dive into it. And Councilman Bowman talked about speaking as one voice. So in our current format right now, our one voice is Mr. Teal. Am I correct in that? Okay. And then when I just asked the most recent questions about if someone's filing a bill that's working for him, what if he's then working on a bill and in a different capacity, whose voice is he speaking for then when you have two different council members? And so when I'm hearing these things about conflicts, and they're natural and they're going to happen, it doesn't seem to be that there's a process in place right now that gives us as a body a chance to come to a resolution without those conflicts inherently being forced to deal with the issue together. And I'm just really basing that now soundly off of his description of defending us on bills being passed. So thank you for that, Mr. Till, and I'm sure someone else might call you back up. I know to this direction someone had it. You want to go, Council Vice President?
Thank you, Mr. President. I apologize for having to step out, but I think I've got the gist of the comments of my colleagues. I'm here due to some frustration. I have personally a great relationship with Mary, and if I have day-to-day issues with legislation, I go to Mary. And if she tries to palm me on someone else, and I no, I'm dealing with you. because, like, my experience, you gravitate to people you're comfortable with, I think, in any business situation. I have no issues with that type of thing. My biggest frustration recently has been over reapportionment. And I just felt, as a council, we got some poor representation from the redistricting. I'm sorry. What did I say? Reapportionment?
The same thing.
I apologize for that. Redistricting. That we started off with some advice that, you know, and I don't need to go through it all, but starting with this, and then it seemed to just mushroom and got worse and worse. And my concern was the council was blamed throughout that process. From the media, everybody, the council, and we were taking advice from council, whether it was in shade meetings or wherever it was, I felt we were taking their advice, and I saw not a great conflict with the advice that was provided and the advice we took. The consultant that came in from California was chosen by the general counsel's office. And so that whole process was very frustrating to me, and I saw no I didn't see anywhere where anyone said we didn't do that well. Nowhere. And that bothered me. Because if I'd have been in that situation, I'd have taken some responsibility for the advice that I was given, that it just didn't raise to the level it should have. And we went through a lot of turmoil because of that. And lines have changed and careers have changed and everything else. I grew up here, and I have had this kind of discussion with past mayors, past general counsels, and the advice that, and I'm not an attorney, as everyone here knows, don't change the model. If you start letting authorities hire their own attorneys, they'll start suing each other, and we will be in a lot of turmoil as a city. That's the advice I have heard consistently from everyone I've ever talked to that I value their experience in this government. So I'm a little leery of hiring our own counsel because of that. If there are issues, they need to be resolved with discussions between the counsel and the general counsel's office, whether it's the people assigned to us or whatever it is, those discussions need to occur. And maybe we need to be more aggressive about having those discussions, would be my thought. I was the liaison to the Police and Fire Pension Board, and anyone that is familiar with that situation was their heavy desire to hire outside counsel. And Mr. Teal and I have had numerous discussions about that, and I left as the liaison to that board because it got very contentious for me, because I was one that felt like that was not the thing to do, and I was glad my colleague took over for me there. So in summary, I think there's some frustration, and it's bubbling up into this meeting, and I think there needs to be considerably more dialogue and responsibility taken for certain issues, but I am a little leery of changing the model that has served this community, to my knowledge, pretty much since consolidation. And if we were to change that model, I think we should do it very carefully with a lot more dialogue. Thank you, Mr. President.
Follow up. Okay, and thank you, Mr. Salem, Vice President Salem, for those conversations and for those discussions. And I'm going to keep reiterating, this was just a tool that was brought to me. I didn't marry it, not even dating it right now, but I'm definitely getting smarter on it. And I love what I'm hearing. Before we go second bites, unless you want to defend or respond to something that was stated, sure, go ahead.
I think it's really clear to say that if you look at Article 7, I am not proposing disbanding the Office of General Counsel. So if you know about the history of the Charter, it's an Office of General Counsel that's integral to the consolidated government. What I am looking at is section, not section 7.01, but section 7.02. General counsel. And so being very clear and having the conversation about that's the section that needs the modification. It doesn't disband the Office of General Counsel. It has, you know, it'll keep largely the same staff. But these intergovernmental conflicts will then be able to be resolved internally, which was the intent. Because right now, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, you cannot serve all of the masters of consolidation equitably. And to Councilmember Salem's point, I totally agree with redistricting. I was blown away when I saw a motion to change the residence requirements of 9 of 14 council districts. I was in the shade meetings like everybody else here. I believe we would have never done 9 of 14. It would have been 14 of 14 or not at all. And so I'm led to believe that had to be clearly make the path easier for the supervisor of elections. So there's this residency issue. Again, a conflict internally. if you look right now, and I have some information, and I encourage my colleagues, and I will share more when we have some follow-ups to this, the cost of the general counsel's office right now when outside counsel is returned is inefficient. You'd be blown away to know how much is spent, not only on staff for the attorneys there, but when counsel is retained outside. And unequivocally, city council maintains right now the authority to get special legislative counsel. We are the only entity in the consolidated government that can do it. We decide. So I don't, this position you have, I'm not for that position because we already have the mechanism to do that. But we have to have the conversations because I don't know how anyone around this table can sit back and say we have not been riddled with conflicts or questionable legal advice throughout the entirety of our term of service. And this is not talking about these are bad people. It's just an untenable position that they are in with that structure that was created 50 years ago. And so I think we have to have the conversations, bring in those former general counsels for the strengths and weaknesses like they were brought in for the charter amendments, talk about what else needs to happen, what can be done. And then this is the last thing I want to share. As an attorney for 27 plus years and Randy for 30 plus years, the very notion that two of our colleagues, you, Mr. Council President and Councilman Cummer, can file the exact same piece of legislation, let me be clear. Each attorney speaks with a different voice. There is no way, unless the same drafters of the legislation did it for both. That's problematic. That is extremely problematic. And so I don't want the council to not be able to effectually do its role as a legislator. We are a co-equal branch to the mayor. And I understand the mayor enjoys that power and the position of making the appointment of the council with confirmation. We just owe it to what we, I'm just saying, look at what we've experienced. So whether we talk about JEA, we talk about redistricting, you know, look at what we have experienced since we have been on school board and see if the model that we have with 7.02, real clear, not getting rid of the Office of General Counsel, 7.01 creates, talks about Office of General Counsel, if we need to look at who the roles in that office as it relates to General Counsel.
Thank you, Councilmember Pittman.
Well, first of all, I'd like to say I was very disappointed to know that I serve on the Personnel Committee. And how I found about the position, I want to talk about the position first, is that someone from outside of the city called me and asked about the position. Now, I was a little bit uncomfortable, you know, about that. One, I didn't know about it. Two, no one said anything about it. And honestly, I'm going to tell you, I asked Mary. I wanted to make sure they weren't getting rid of Mary because I feel like you, Ron, that I have a relationship with her over the past, you know, years, even after Peggy left. I know that I can go to her and get an answer within 24 hours or less. And so when you, Councilman Carlucci, mentioned it in our meeting on Tuesday, even up until that point, no information had been given to us. So guess who I call? I call Jason, because I wanted to know what was going on. And I don't know if you all had the same experience, but I felt like I had my slip down. You know, I'm just going to say that because that's an important position, and we all should have known about that before Tuesday night. That's number one. Since I've been here and those that came on with me, we haven't really had a chance to really do what we need to do for the council and work together other than working on the strategic plan. And let me say why. We've been handling everybody else's problems, from the monument to the school board to JTA to redistricting. JEA, I'm sorry, not JTA, JEA. And, you know, for some of us, it's time to go. Those who have been here and served their time, it's unfair because we should have done more than what we wanted to do, but we were too busy and distracted with other folks' stuff. And so when this came up, it concerned me that, one, I didn't know, and two, if there was something that was going on with the general counsel's office, I think either, you know, an evaluation. I don't know who evaluates their office. Do we evaluate the services that they provide to us? Do we need a reform? I don't think so. But just like, you know, you work in your businesses, if your staff is not producing like you want to, you have an evaluation. And then there's a plan of action. And if they don't do what needs to get done, you help them on out of the door. So I can say my experience has been good, from operational issues to LUZ. I've always been provided the services that I needed. But I think for all of us, you know, we've had to have dealt with so much that otherwise we probably wouldn't even have, we wouldn't even be at the table talking about this now. I mean, you just think about all of the stuff that we've had to endure over the last 4 years. So I would just say in, you know, in the future, you know, instead of just complaining about what didn't happen, that we need to come up with a solution. I would say have an evaluation of our services, whether it's every, you know, every year, annually, or some things that we could recommend as individual council members. And then, you know, I don't know what you experienced, because guess what? We don't talk to each other. You know, we wouldn't even have this conversation now. You know what I mean? If we're talking about affordable housing even, I don't know if Sam might, you know, we served on the same committee. You know, you were on what? Health? But you might have liked what maybe happened in affordable housing. So my thing is, let's see what we can do better. And I'm glad we're having this conversation. And for those who will be new coming in, just like we have an orientation when we come in, this is something we need to talk about and working with different departments that we have to work with on a regular basis. But at this point in time, until we do a deeper dive, I like what we have. I haven't had any major experiences because, you know, even with Susan, you know, worked on the waterways. You know, I ain't know a whole lot about waterways, but guess what? Because I served on waterways, what's happening, you know, to Black Hammett, you know, I know what questions to ask. So all I'm saying is we can't throw the baby out with all the water. We gotta see as a council, how do we work this thing out?
Thank you. And I absolutely love the discussions that we are having. And I believe Councilmember DeFore led with this, and I'm sure others. This is not an indictment on any member of OGC. I think if I went around this table right now, every last one of us will give testimonies of the good work that they're doing. So if anybody around this table is feeling like this is an indictment on someone, then I want to apologize, because that's not the purpose of this meeting. And I think the true essence of this meeting is, what are our options in areas where we're having some deficiencies and dealing with some frustrations. And I'm taking a page full of notes here, and I'm loving the dialogue. But what I won't allow to be the narrative when we leave this room is that there's an indictment on, and we can go across the board of our attorneys. I work with Mary and have a great relationship with Mary. Mary held my hand all the way through my filing of my last bill, all the way up to me asking her questions without her knowing what was coming on the spot. I see Mr. Colucci, but without it, and she has stood strong. So this is not an indictment. This is merely, as Councilmember Precy Jackson has brought up, is a great opportunity to do a stopping point and look back and then look forward. And as Councilmember DeForest said, I think that this is an appropriate time to do it. So if we can shift the lens maybe from this piece here, which I'm fine if we all want to continue to discuss it, and the matter of it being a surprise and things of that nature, that's another whole discussion. We can continue down that path, but that shouldn't be the focus of where we're at. It's what got us to the table. And I love it, because there's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. There are 14 of us here, and I don't think we would have gotten 14 without this tool being brought up. The next thing I will share with you is that this does not catch Mr. Till off guard. Mr. Till actually called me about this several months ago when we had a former member of OGC leave, and it was something that I had asked, like, do we have options? Do we have tools if we ever meet points of frustration as a council? And I believe he said at that time that they were going through her files and they saw it, and he asked me, what was the genesis of this? And at that time, I shared with him some of the same things that you all have already said around this table today, primarily of when conflicts arise, how would we handle this? When you're sitting as the boss and they're the subordinate to you, how can they or will they stand tall and defend? And, you know, and I don't want to make this about me, but, you know, Councilmember Precy Jackson referenced a scenario where you can see how a conflict will arise. And you have, you know, you have example now of how it's been dealt with. And so to me, I think it is time to do some type of a review to, if not but anything else, ensure that none of you all, when you're sitting in this seat, have to experience that, because it was awful and it was tough and it divided us. And it shouldn't have been a situation where we're divided, because we both followed a process that, as he shared earlier, there's supposed to be a separation. So that being said, Ms. Pittman, thank you for that. Ms. Clark-Murray, did you want to add anything? If not, no harm. Councilman White, past President Newby.
Yes, first of all, Mr. President, I want to thank you for your leadership for having this meeting. And I know you said we got past the about how this meeting came, but I must talk about my concerns. Just like Councilwoman Pittman, I got a call from a lawyer who's actually interested in the job. And I was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And then I looked it up and I see that it was posted. So that's a major concern that I can tell none of the other council members know that it was even a job posted. So I'm definitely concerned about that. Also, I know it's under the charter, but I think it should be required a vote by all the council. I don't think one person should make this vote. I mean, so I've been council president. If I was still council president, I wouldn't want to make the vote. I think all the council members should have a say so in that. And also, I think they still should report to OGC, because we're going down a slippery slope, I think, of threatening consolidation with this. So, but I definitely appreciate that we have some conversation, because it is some frustration, and like Mr. Salem said, redistricting, I was definitely frustrated how it went out and how we was told that we was pretty good, and we need to visit this. But at this point, I couldn't support council have their own council.
Thank you. And there's nothing before you all. I want to reiterate again. There's nothing been placed before
It wasn't posted, because somebody told me it was posted.
No, definitely, Ms. Peggy, was a position posted? Absolutely, it was posted. But there's nothing before you all right now. And if we want to be psychic and try to predict the future, we can. And the lottery was $1 billion, and I need some numbers given to me. But what it did do is it provoked each one of you to come in here passionate. And I love it. Whether you like it or love it, like it, dislike it, that's fine. I'm good with that. But it brought us to this table where we've brought some things out that I believe needed to be shared in a public forum, and with the hopes of, and that's really what I've tried to do this year, is in cleaning up processes, cleaning up situations in government where it has slowed it down or where it has created some conflict, unnecessary at times. And I think we're landing in a place where I have folks that are willing to take a deeper dive into this. So I want to reiterate, and I hear everyone when they said I didn't call, I do my best to try to follow Sunshine, and as all of us do, it wasn't going to be something that we vote on. And so job being posted, seeing if there's interest, and that person that did reach out, tell them we still need good attorneys. So please apply. There are other opportunities out there. I mean, I don't know if we filled the second spot of the young lady that was with us for a couple months and left, but there was an opening in our city council side. Anybody know that? Do we get notified when there are openings? Do you all get notified when they fill it? And so I think apples to apples, oranges to oranges goes to what Councilmember Bowman was saying, is we should probably have a say in who they bring in. So I'll take the heat, because I love sitting in this seat and having these tough conversations, but they should be willing to take that same heat and have that same conversation, because they're the ones that are putting people in, and then we're the ones that are left trying to figure out how it works. So,
Mr. President, if I could say one thing,
sure.
The only concern I have, because and this is just my opinion. If we wouldn't started this meeting, in my opinion, I think that job would have got posted. Well, I mean, would have been filled, and then we wouldn't have known. We just would have had to accept that. That's the concern that I have.
Thank you, and I will openly and emphatically disagree with you. As a current president and you're a past president, and I definitely appreciate your leadership that you modeled with me, that in situations of things that were moving forward, there's not any way that I would do something like that that would catch the next president off guard. And so I can tell you what I can do. Everyone can have their opinions, but I can tell you as the person sitting in this seat. And so I appreciate the comments, but I will have to take stands where stands are needed. But more importantly, what the intent for me was to do this right here and have this conversation happen. And that's why I started with from the very beginning, this could go on the floor. Good ideas oftentimes don't make it to the final finish line. So you never once heard me standing up and trying to defend it. You never once heard me really go into the deep details of it. I really wanted to hear more of what you all had to say and options that can make this process better. So we can continue to talk about this and the surprise of it, but that's not going to make our role as council members and our concerns that we're having with OGC when we move forward. So I'm willing to hear it. I'll have a notice meeting, and I'd love to hear all the frustrations, but I'm also going to be at this next meetings and learn how we can make this better for future councils. To my colleague's point, we got work to do. We got work to do. So I believe everyone has had it. Oh, Councilman Carrico.
All right. Thank you, Mr. President. A couple thoughts. One, I've been served extremely well by the Office of General Counsel. When I first got here, it was Peggy and Paige that really helped me get my sea legs. And then now as LUZ chair, you know, Ms. Stephopoulos does, backflips and works a whole lot on that LUZ book in getting us prepared for those meetings and all the work that she does. I've had support from Jason, from many people from that office. So I can't see throwing all that away and starting over, especially if you just bring in one person to do all that work. It seems real hard. But I can see a hybrid, a path where, you know, council members may have, you know, a limited amount of hours where if we need a second opinion, or especially the president who would just need a second opinion, say, hey, you've got each council member maybe has 5-10 hours that we could have someone on retainer and say, hey, I just need a second opinion. These guys are really, really busy. Mary is in the weeds with a lot of stuff. I know she works hard, but if you're just in a place where, hey, I just need to talk to someone, we already have that person on retainer. They've been vetted. We have an hourly rate. It's already in the budget. And we can just seek a second opinion, and everyone can kind of work together. But I think, you know, disrupting the whole Office of General Counsel might be tricky. Might be something that would be hard to do. So I'd be in favor of maybe just looking and open up the dialogue for a hybrid model for someone that can just lend some assistance that we can all get comfortable with and maybe get some help when we need it. So those are my thoughts. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you so much. And so I think we still got 30 minutes left. We'll work our way around if anyone else. Got great notes here. I do want to leave with action items per se. If there are any recommendations that someone's willing to put forward, I will entertain.
I have some.
Council Vice President.
Thank you. Kind of moving forward, I would be interested in a survey of the authorities confidentially and to get their feelings on OGC and what they could recommend for improvements, changes, or whatever, or anyone outside of us that OGC is serving. I think that's a place we need to start. Number two, I think it would be helpful to bring together some past general counsels, past mayors, to get their feelings on. We're 50 years now. Mm-hmm. Is this the right model? Are there different models, as has been suggested, that we should take a look at? And number three, I know our form of government is fairly unique, but I think there are a few other consolidated governments across the country, and I think we should take a look at their form of legal services and see how they're organized. What are their pluses? What are their minuses? Let's don't reinvent the wheel if we can get that information from somebody that's experiencing it. Those would be three things that I would do immediately to try to get some feedback. Thank you, Mr. President.
Thank you. Thank you, Council Vice President. Council Member DeFore.
Thank you, Mr. President. I'm going to come to your defense for just a second, because I think you actually received some very poor advice. Because Section 14.105 staffing says that attorney staffing and compensation shall be affected and determined by the City Council Personnel Committee. So it would have had to have come out of the Personnel Committee before you could post it. So you didn't do that independently, so more reasons why we need assistance. Okay. Just saying that out loud. And then I would add to Councilman Salem's list item is go ask the OGC itself what we, you know, what they think could help. But I would add that to the list.
I promise, Mr. Carlucci, next.
Okay, thank you. First, I want to thank you for having this meeting, Council President, and I really mean that, because this was not an easy crowd for you to walk to, and you were very forthright, and I appreciate that. And I think this is a conversation that really needs to be had more often, because over the years, different councils have come up with this idea of hiring a new council, their own council. And it seldom happens, in the times that it has happened, were failures. But at the end of the day, you brought us to, I think, something that is important to all of us, and that is who we can rely on and getting more clarification on the work of the General Counsel's office. I want to say one of my frustrations was in redistricting, because I felt that the council, and I'm just saying this is what I think, not trying to be critical, just saying, as somebody who was in the great minority of that issue, and the council was driving which way we wanted to go on that more than we were asking the general counsel for their advice. And when we asked them for what they thought, the odds they gave us weren't so great. Now, perhaps the general counsel should have been more forthcoming with a recommendation to the council in his position. So that could work both ways. But that was very frustrating to me, because I felt like we were making some really bad decisions, and we should have been more asking of our general counsel what they thought. And maybe they should have been more assertive with us. But I was very frustrated with that situation. The frustration with the assignments and who's assigned to the council for what particular council members and so forth, my recommendation would be that we have a meeting with Jason and the people that he thinks needs to be here, and those council, those Office of General Counsel members who are assigned to this body, so we have a better understanding of who to go to when we need a particular piece of legislation drawn up, which might be a little bit foreign to me, but I think it needs to be drawn up, but I'm not sure which member of the General Counsel to call. So I think we need to know who kind of is our menu of attorneys in the OGC, and I think a meeting with Jason and his staff would help us identify just exactly who is at our beck and call when we need that legal advice. To get a second opinion from another lawyer in a hybrid, that's because maybe the OGC is too busy. Councilman, I have never found the general counsel too busy to talk with me. Never. Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, anytime. I put a call in, I get a call back. And if I need an appointment, I'm accommodated. And so I don't want a second opinion. That creates a two-headed monster. And I've seen it before. Y'all haven't seen it, and I know bringing back times of experience, sometimes some people might want to roll their eyes at, but I'm just telling you, I have seen it, and it's a mess. It turns into a two-headed monster. I think a separate attorney also finds themselves, at least with the experience I had, kind of in no man's land. Because they're not a part of the OGC. They're working for us, but they can't override the OGC. The OGC may get frustrated with what our attorney is trying to compel us to do. We need one general counsel to work through. The bill does say that this position reports to the council president, and it says examples of work, drafts, legal opinions for city council and members of the council. Well, those opinions might be great unless our general counsel disagrees with it. So, in short, I think having a meeting specifically assigned to a discussion and conversation with Jason Teal, our general counsel, and whoever he decides to bring to the meeting to explain to us who is at our beck and call and what are our boundaries, if any, that we have, so that we never find ourselves lacking or feeling a lack of support for legal measures and for legislation that we want to introduce. And so the answer to the whole issue is, I think, and I think this meeting has shown an example of that, is the council communicating more with the OGC on who could we call on, what's your recommendations. And I had two maxims when I first got elected to city council: lean heavily on the OGC and lean heavily on the council auditors. And I always have, and I always will. And when the council auditors speak, baby, I'm listening. And when the OGC speaks, I'm listening. And we cannot break the foundation of what we have in this consolidated government with our Office of General Counsel. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilman Ferraro, did you have anything that you would like to add? And then we're on next steps, and so we can close out. But you, this is your first bite of the apple.
I'll be real quick.
Just share, take your time. We have plenty of time.
I'll be real quick. A lot of things that I was concerned with have already been brought up. But something that Mr. Carlucci said about our auditors, I came in, I trust what they say, I followed through with them, and I do listen to what the auditors say. When I came in, I didn't have so much trust with our general counsel just because I hadn't used them, and I wanted to see where I was going to go with that. So it took me a while to build up trust, and I trusted our Office of General Counsel immensely. I got up several times and talked about that. I don't feel that way now. There's things that have happened just recently, and there's things that have happened not so recently. So I'm not sure I have the answer to what or where we need to go at this point. I'm eager to listen and find out. Some good things have been brought up, but I'm not real pleased with where our general counsel is right now. I'm just not. So I'm eager to hear what other people have to say, and be interested in hearing some more and moving in a direction differently than we are now. I'd like to see where it is, where it was perhaps four years ago, 5 years ago. I don't see where we're at that point right now. And trust is a big issue with me. So I'll just leave it at that.
Well, thank you, Councilman Ferraro. Councilman Wright, for the first time. It's on the notes. I'm gonna let him. Yeah, I'm gonna definitely let him close out. Anybody else with next steps?
Yeah, I think that what I would like to see is the city council have a notice meeting or a workshop to look at Article 7, the Office of General Counsel, and particularly Article 7.02. And that meeting could have former general counsels come testify, and others in the office, or not testify. Sorry, share information at that meeting. And I say that because the last time this exercise was undertaken, it was the mayor's office did it. So the city council has never done this. So those charter revisions that came about in 15-16, that came from the mayor's office and the committee that was convened by the mayor's office at that time. And I think it's incumbent upon the city council to do that. And this is my closing comment. We were in a unique position, or are in a unique position as a council. It was the first time in the history of the city council that there were four attorneys on the city council.
And so with that, I think we brought a bevy of different lived experiences and things that we may have seen that prior councils had not. I think my understanding was there were only two that had been on at one time. And so that, I think, gave a different lens that we looked at as a council. And I think thereby we also heard our colleagues in a different way and things that they shared. And so I think it's incumbent upon us to take advantage of that opportunity to see how we can improve the structure and the system and our services to neighbors. And that's very important to me as I walk the slow walk to the porch.
Thank you so much. And so we'll go around. All right.
I just have one question. Is the job is the job still posted? So my next step is, if the job's still posted, we should suspend the post until we have further dialogue.
That's fine. Councilman Bowman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Briefly, you know, I'm an organizational guy, and much like we do with the Office of Legislative Services when Peggy came in, I think it's really time for us to do the same thing for our legal support that we've got. The last time we probably reorganized that was 40 years ago. I think we need to see how many people do we need, what are the job requirements and skills that those people should have, how much experience should they have, what are their responsibilities. We need to optimize what we've got. And I'm certainly not smart enough to tell you that we're overstaffed or understaffed right now, and we've got the right skill sets in there. But I think we owe it to ourselves to make sure that every position that is required we have filled, and it's filled by the people that have the right background to do so. And then I kind of mentioned earlier, my second recommendation would be is I do feel, since that is our primary legal support structure, we should have the ability to vote on that and vet the head of council legal services. That position should not just be assigned to us. We should have the opportunity to approve that position, much like we do many of the department heads within.
Thank you so much, Councilmember Bowman. Is there anybody else that will close? All right, and I got a ton of notes, and Jerry, we got a lot of work to do. Councilmember Boylan.
Thank you, Mr. President, for taking a moment to recognize me. I apologize I could not be here early. I sent you a note. I had a prior commitment. But I will take the time to listen to the comments from today's conversation. As Mr. Carlisi often says, I'm a process guy, so I'm looking forward to the feedback from my colleagues on this matter and see what the next steps are. But I don't have any specific recommendations as next steps at this point. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And prior to me bringing up Mr. Till, I just wanted to close by, one, telling each of you thank you for caring, caring, and sharing your thoughts and opinions. I treat the political process like sports. And so, you know what? And I've shared it with colleagues. The fastballs get away from you every now and then. It might doink you a little bit. I would just steal second, steal third, score, and hope that helps my team win the game. I come in here with very thick skin. So if there's anyone in here, and I was raised that if I ever offend someone in a public space or do something in a public space, that I make it right in the public space. So if there's anyone in here that felt that you were caught off guard or that there was some type of a hidden agenda, I do give you my sincere apologies. I can assure you that my vice president understood the process as well, that I respect what might potentially be coming down the road for him and would never try to do anything that would hamstring him. So with that said, Mr. Till, we welcome you up. And just as a caveat, Mr. Till, do we have a meeting already scheduled on the books? You, I, the administration?
So there's been some debate about whether or not you still wanted that meeting.
No, I think, is Jerry in here?
Jerry's here, yeah.
Jerry, didn't we confirm that one or no? I know. Okay, so yes, then this is going to be perfect. Now, to my colleagues in that meeting, is that something that we want to make noticed again? And because I'm going to take a lot of these suggestions and thoughts that you brought up and give them preparation. And if we have to push the meeting out a little bit, do it so that I can start getting some, which I love the question is, have we even asked OGC what we think can help them? So right now I just had it scheduled. It's just myself with them, but I can definitely open that up if that's something that you all. Okay, that would be perfect. And I'll have Jerry get with you, Mr. Till, and we can figure out what is reasonable, right, for you guys in time. Because as Ms. Pittman said, we got a lot of work to do. And so, and that means you got a lot of work to do. So you eat an elephant one bite at a time. So we can definitely work through this. But Mr. Till, thank you so much for showing up. I know it's a little tough today, tough love, but I would love to hear your closing thoughts and remarks, and then we will adjourn.
Thank you, Mr. Council President. So I love the opportunity to have a dialogue with you guys. And Council President, thank you for bringing up, you know, our conversation, because you're right. I mean, when I saw that one of the last things that one of my lawyers did before leaving the office was to draft a piece of legislation to appoint legislative counsel, first thing I did was call the Council President and say, hey, what's going on? Is there something that, you know, you've got an issue with? Or is there something that triggered this response? He explained to me at the time, you know, that really there wasn't anything that was, you know, a specific driving force. You know, there were some concerns with regard to, the experience that was coming over. And I think, you know, a lot of the things that got brought up today, you know, I explained to him. I said, look, I said, you know, first of all, you guys took Peggy from us. So I shouldn't be punished for a lack of experience in my office when you kind of poached my experience. But from my perspective, you know, there's not going to be a seamless transition. You know, when you literally get rid of decades of experience with General Counsel's office and the services that we provide to the City Council, you know, that's not going to be just a flip a switch, you know, swap out seats. City Council business, there's 19 of you, and your issues are unique. They're varied. They're all over the map. You know, they are novel issues, and a lot of times that requires a level of institutional knowledge, which the Office of General Counsel as a collective will bring to you all. Now, I say this in the spirit of I'm glad we're having this conversation. It's just, you know, the method that it came to this point, I think, is a little unique, you know, in that it was a job posting that brought us all together. But I want to have this discussion with you, because I am not afraid of improving my process. I will say this. I didn't make any changes that you know, didn't evolve over the last 50 years of consolidated government. So, you know, the system of how lawyers get assigned, of, you know, of the process that we follow for how we represent 19 of you all when you all have your own independent thoughts and ideas, and how do we mesh that all together because you can't each have 19 separate lawyers all the time. But if there's a way to improve that process, 100% behind that. And I welcome the ability to have the dialogue and the discussion with you all that if there is a specific issue with trust, with representation on earlier items, I'm curious to who provides you the legal advice on doing this, because it wasn't my office. And to miss, you know, the point that this is supposed to go to, this caught us all flat-footed. But like I said, regardless of how we got here, the issue from my perspective is if I can do a better job, I want to do a better job. And if part of that is I need to talk to my lawyers, if it's about a process, if it's about communications, if it's about, you know, every year when we do ethics training that we, you know, sit down with you guys and we say, okay, evaluate us. I'm open to those discussions because, like I said, I don't have any pride in authorship. I've been here long enough that I have seen many, many changes in administration, changes in philosophy, and quite frankly, changes in the general counsel and our attorneys. The one thing I believe firmly in is the value of consolidation. I think that the consolidated government of Jacksonville has worked, obviously, you know, for 50 years. And obviously, you know, the components of consolidated government are like brothers and sisters sometimes. And they fight. But there's always got to be that one go-to person, go-to entity that can resolve those issues. There was a reason why the General Counsel back in 1968 and 69 was set up as the arbiter of the disputes. It was because there was a long history of those fights and the inefficiencies that came from that. Quite frankly, the prosecutions, the criminal, you know, fraud cases that came out of that. This 1987 law, the reason why that the City Council got its own legislative council back then was because Dawson McQuaig, the general counsel, got indicted. So that was put into the code because there was an issue within the general counsel's office where the city council at the time felt like, you know what, we need to have an independent voice. We need to have the ability to go to it. And I think that that process has worked well. You guys do have the ability to go out right now and hire your own lawyer to address a specific issue. I think there's danger, and I can get into this, you know, I got a long list of the concerns that I would have for a model that says that you guys have separate independent counsel, you know, for everything that you do. I have those same concerns with JEA having their own independent counsel, with the Police and Fire Pension Fund having their own independent counsel, with the school board having their own independent counsel, because quite frankly, there is general advice that we have to give across the board to all aspects of consolidated government, and it has to be consistent. So, you know, so unless the right hand knows what the left hand is doing, then you can't have that consistency. So, you know, yes, I am going to stand on a soapbox and a pulpit, whatever you want to call this thing right here, and tell you how much I believe in consolidated government and how much I think that that is the best institution for us. Now, doesn't mean that we're doing it perfectly. Doesn't mean that, you know, that the system that was set up in 68, 69, through the 70s, through the 80s, you know, to now is the perfect end-all, be-all system. But I'll tell you this. My view of the General Counsel Office, even in the last 23 years that I've been here, is to see it evolve to keep up with how consolidated government has evolved. I don't think that model that was set up where you brought in a general counsel to basically dip their toe in consolidation for a period of time, I don't think that works now. You have to have somebody that has the institutional knowledge to bring forth and to be able to address the issues that me, now that I'm recently in this seat, fairly recently in this seat, have seen what issues the general counsel has to deal with. If I had to go and you know, not know how we got to this point, even to get to the question that's being asked, I don't have faith that service or the legal representation in those instances would fulfill the purposes of our charter and our consolidated government. So, Mr. President, I'll finish with this, you know, which is I am 100% on board with participating in a process improvement, a look, a hey, even if it's Jason, I got to tell you, you fell flat on me on this issue, or you know, you weren't responsive, or you gave me, you know, I understand it was your best advice, but maybe I don't fully understand how you got there and you didn't explain it well enough. Fully, 100%. I am willing to look in the mirror because at the end of the day, I'm your lawyer. We're your lawyer. And if we're not meeting your needs, or if we're falling flat, or if you don't feel like we're doing a sufficient job, tell us. I think that was endemic in the call that I made to the council president. Tell me. Have a conversation, even if it's a difficult one. I'm going to listen, and I'm going to hear you out, and we're going to talk about it. So, you know, with that, I am 100% on board with whatever you want to set up, whatever meetings you want to set up, whatever, if it's, you know, a notice meeting, if it's individual meetings with council members, if anybody wants to reach out to me, I'm happy to listen. So, you know, with that, Mr. President, I do appreciate you you giving me the opportunity to kind of bring it in for a landing. At the
no
end
worries.
But, you know, and with that, I'll just leave it there.
No, thank you so much. And to my colleagues, you know, at the conclusion of one of our conversations, he did acknowledge that, you know, training some of the new staff just on the best practices on the fourth floor as some of the new ones were coming in. And so he definitely showed a willingness, and I look forward to us continuing this discussion. So thank you all, and you can expect an email. This meeting is adjourned.